And it just happens naturally through the day. I get involved in my schedule, my calendar, phone calls, emails, meetings, talking to people, making decisions, and you just get on a roll and you start plowing through the day, and all of a sudden I realize I'm going about all this without God.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about needing God, our Heavenly Father. Do you think that God wants us to need Him? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren encouraging us to say, "Dear God, I need you." Thanks for listening.
So you really learn self-reliance at a very young age. So your parents congratulated you and cheered you on when you learned to crawl and then learned to stand up. And then you took your first step and they clapped and cheered and maybe posted it on video. And then they clapped and cheered and celebrated and congratulated you when you learned to tie your shoes by yourself. And then when you learned to drive by yourself. And then when you could get a job by yourself and you didn't need an allowance anymore. Those accomplishments just made you more independent. And so no wonder as young adults and adults who are maturing and even aging, we like to say, "I can do it all by myself." We do our own research online. Once you hit 50 years old or so, you start to not see as well, and you need reading glasses, but you resist putting them on because you say that's only for old people. And then you struggle at the same time with your aging parents who refuse to use a walker or to go into assisted living. See, so none of us likes to feel like we are weak or have others get the impression that we are weak. So what do? We do a lot of pretending and posing in life, saying that we can handle things that we cannot, and pretending that we know things that we don't know. And this is huge to improve your prayer life. So you need to understand this is how foundational it is for your prayer life. If you tell me what your prayer life is like, I'll be able to tell you what you think of yourself and what you think of God, and how you're pretending about yourself, or how you're pretending that God is something that He's not or that He is. So here's the good news. I'm going to tell you about God's grace and guidance when it comes to prayer. And when I do, you are going to develop a better prayer life because of what God says and because of what God promises. And here's the start. When you pray, God looks at you and He just smiles. And when you're done praying, He smiles some more and says, "Tell me more. When are you going to pray again?" That's the God that we all pray to. So what do you need from God, really? What do you need from God? I actually ask that question in a non-confrontational way. When I go knocking on doors around the neighborhoods of Pflugerville and I talk to people and maybe hand out invitations or flyers to come to church or to come to our Christian Academy, I'll often end the conversation by saying, "What can I pray about for you?" 90% of the answers fall in the category of just two possible answers. The rest of the answers, there's not many other answers. 90% of the answers are either, when I say, "What can I pray about for you?" are either, "Nothing, really?" Or, "Oh, wow, there are so many, pray about everything." Right now, that says something. See, when you don't need God or don't need to come to God for anything, that's a symptom of self-reliance and of a prayer life that you just don't pray very well at all or very often or at all. But when you come and say, "I need God for everything," that's a sign of a healthy, humble, repentant faith that is looking to God for every good gift, and is a good sign that that person has a very good prayer life. So Jesus talks about these two, not needing God for anything and needing God for everything, and He presents them in a parable of what we call the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Do you know what a Pharisee is? Pharisees were like a religious denomination in Jesus' day, And so Jesus had to deal with the Pharisees a lot. In his book called Accidental Pharisees, getting us to see that we all have a little Pharisee inside of each of us, Pastor Larry Osborne says this. He says, "Today, when most of us hear the word Pharisee, we conjure up images of hypocritical, narrow-minded, puffed-up, spiritual losers. But in Jesus' day, being called a Pharisee was a badge of honor. It was a compliment, not a slam. That's because first-century Pharisees excelled in everything that we admire spiritual. They were zealous for God, completely committed to their faith. They were theologically astute, masters of the biblical texts. They obeyed even the most obscure commands. They even made extra rules just in case they were missing anything. The Pharisees had earned the right to boast and to look down on everyone else." So it was to the Pharisees. They were the best members of church. They were the most beloved do-gooders in the entire community. They were the biggest givers to charities. To these Pharisees, Jesus spoke this parable. And so there's a lesson that he wants them to learn, and here's what the Bible says about this lesson. The Bible says, "To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." You know, there is something that makes us feel entitled to look down on everyone else. This is true of us all. And it's this: we're all good at something. Everyone, we're all good at something. Maybe you have a whimsical humor. Maybe you're very well organized. Maybe you can whip up a batch of hollandaise sauce that is just the best in the world. Maybe you're good at laundry. Maybe you have a story in your life that you've been victimized in ways, and that's just your story, and you're good at telling it. So we're all good at something, and we believe that then that entitles us to look down on others because we filter our view of others through what we are good at. And that means we end up looking down on others. It means that we are a bit too confident, like this Pharisee, and we look down on everyone else. So all I'm saying is this: we are in the audience Jesus is speaking to in this parable. You and I are in the audience, and he wants our hearts, he wants our attention, because we can look down on others, and when you're looking down on others, you're not looking up to God. So Jesus has lessons for us. So he's going to tell us about this Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, in Jesus' original audience, when he told this parable, the original hearers of this parable, when Jesus would say Pharisee, they would cheer, maybe they would say yay, they would see the Pharisee as the hero of the story, and when Jesus said tax collector, boo, they would see the tax collector as the antagonist, as the villain in the story. And so understand it in those perspectives, and Jesus begins. He says this: "The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector.'" Boo, the crowd says, boo. "I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." I can just picture this Pharisee taking a seat in the front row of the church, dressed in his Sunday best, waiting for a moment when the pastor leaves the stage and the Pharisee can come up, get into the spotlight, can grab the microphone, put on a big display, raise his hand in the air, put the microphone into his face, make sure that everyone can see that he has his best church clothes on or his cross necklace or see his contemporary tattoo. And he's there and he says, "Dear God, I, four times he says, "I. God, I don't need anything from you." That's what he prays. Now, that's a strange prayer. I really wouldn't say that's much of a prayer. That's more so a thought pattern that we engage in, because if you think like that, if you think like this Pharisee thought, "God, I don't need anything from you," you're not going to pray. And so a sign or a symptom in your life that you're thinking like the Pharisee is not so much what you say to God in prayer, but the fact that you don't pray more often and more deeply. when you don't pray, you're being a Pharisee. You don't need anything from God. And when we don't need anything from God, we're really telling God, hey, God, you really need me. God, you need me to explain to you how things work. That's what the Pharisee is doing. In this prayer, he's telling God, he's not asking God for anything. He's telling God how good he is. So praying like a Pharisee is telling God, God, I'm going to explain this to you, and this is how it works. It's telling God that, God, I know how to fix this problem. I have a solution for this problem. Just listen to me, God, and it'll end well. And God, I just need to go after and take care of, get straightened out all those other people out there, God. I know exactly how. God, I'm your man. I will do it. Here's what the Bible says about prayers like that and thinking like that. The Bible says, do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. 1 Samuel chapter 2. See how God adjusts this, that the measuring stick for how good we are is not our own opinion of ourselves. The measuring stick for how good we are is that the Lord is the judge, and by him deeds are weighed, 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's God who knows everything. So if I insist on telling God the way things really are, I deserve his angry thunder. And if I oppose him, I'm going to be broken. You know, states in our nation can declare their independence from federal mandates. And health nuts like to declare their independence from gluten or from meat. And even families going on vacation during the summer declare their independence from the daily grind. We declare our independence from lots of things, but we should never declare our independence from God. Prayer is a declaration of dependence. Prayer is saying to God, I need you. Our very weakness drives us toward God, and our weakness and our fallibility and our flawedness actually opens the door even wider to God. I have an app on my phone that's called the 1 minute pause, and the 1 minute pause sends me a notification. And I don't get many. I have my phone set up, so I don't really get many notifications. But this app I do at 8:30 a.m. and 2 o'clock p.m. every day. That app sends me a notification. It's time for your one-minute pause. And the one-minute pause is meant just to provide a relief and a release from whatever I'm doing and to help me focus on God. Because I tell you what, it's hard. It's hard for me to go through the entire day with a declaration of dependence on God, because I like to declare my independence from God, and it just happens naturally through the day. I get involved in my schedule, my calendar, phone calls, emails, meetings, talking to people, making decisions, and you just get on a roll, and you start plowing through the day, and all of a sudden, I realize I'm going about all this without God, and the app helps. I should probably set it to appear more often than twice a day. And the app plays some meditative music. It's meant just to take 1 minute, just to unplug, meditative music. And then there's a calm, soothing, assuring voice on the app. And it leads in prayer thoughts. And one of the prayer thoughts on the app, the voice says, God, I need more of you. I need more of you. God, I need to be less independent from you. And God, I need to be more dependent on you. I know I need those things, and I know you do too. The tax collector wanted those things. Jesus goes on in his parable to talk about the tax collector, and he says this. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So this tax collector, he finds the back seat in church, all the way back, not the front row like the Pharisee, all the way back in the back corner. It's dark back there. Not many people sit back there. He's hiding. He's embarrassed. He's thinking, what do I, why, I don't want to, I can't fit in with all these good people. I'm not one of them. I don't deserve to be sitting in the front row and certainly not on stage. And then Jesus says he beat his breast. That's not like Tarzan claiming to be king of the jungle. Beat his breast is like, it's like an athlete giving this as a signal saying, yeah, my bad. I'm sorry, my bad. That's what beating his breast is, my bad. And he wouldn't even look to heaven. He wouldn't stretch out his arms like the egomaniac Pharisee. My bad, God. God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, God. I don't even know why I'm here, God. I'm in church. I don't deserve to be here. God, I'm not even the same league as all those other people. They are so good, God. Those are such great people. And I'm not that good. God, I don't deserve to have any of your blessings in my life. Oh, God, and I need so many things, God, and the most important is this. I just need you to know, God, that I've failed. I haven't lived up to your standards. I haven't met your expectations, God. And here I am again. I'm asking for you, again, God, for your forgiveness and for your mercy. God, I need everything from you, including your mercy, including you to forgive me, including you, God, to give me strength to go on. God, I need everything from you. So the Pharisee thought he had everything and needed nothing from God. The tax collector thought he had nothing and needed everything from God. You know, there's someone else that I know who had nothing and needed everything from God, and his name is Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus made himself nothing. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus gave up everything when he left heaven to come to this earth, and then he gave up his own life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, for your sins, for when you haven't prayed and you should have, for when you prayed the wrong way, the wrong thing. Jesus gave up everything so he became nothing in your place. That means that you're never nothing again. And then he needed everything from God the Father. He needed God the Father to raise him from nothingness, from death, to raise him back to life. And God the Father raised him to life, but even more, he exalted him to the highest place, exalted Jesus to be the King of the universe, to be the Lord over all. Jesus went from nothing to everything. I know someone else who has nothing and needs everything from God. You. And you need to know that God gives you everything in Jesus Christ. He gives you everything. He gives you his forgiveness. He gives you his mercy. The very mercy that the tax collector asked for, God gives to you in Jesus Christ. Jesus, nothing and everything. You, nothing and everything. And so Jesus concludes his parable, and he says this about the tax collector. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And that's it. The parable ends. Because Jesus wants the parable to continue in you. This man went home justified. So, The tax collector came humiliated in himself and left just beaming with joy in God. The Pharisee came beaming with joy in himself, and he left humiliated. How is that about prayer? Where's the lesson in that about prayer and the address to the Lord's Prayer, which says, Our Father in heaven? Here it is. Know from this parable of Jesus, as we introduce the prayer series and praying to God who is our Father, know this, that your biggest problem is not your weakness, but your delusion of your strength. See, your problem is not your weakness, is not what you don't know, what you can't do. Your problem is none of those things, because God beams with joy when he says to you, you are my child. God loves that you're his child, and in grace, he can face the challenge of any weakness that you have. So in your weakness, come to God in prayer. In your weakness, come to God and open the door in prayer and see that God is your everything, that God is your strength, the greatest gift that you can give your dad. No matter how old or young you are, no matter how old or young he is, you go to your dad today, you walk up to him, you give him a big hug, and you just say, Dad, I need you. Dads love to be needed. They are providers and protectors, and they love to be needed. They are wise, and they have counsel, and they love to be needed. That's the lesson for prayer. You go to God, your Heavenly Father, and say, God, I need you. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple, teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.